Welcome back to the Pastor's Free Game Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Scheffler, and it is a very special Mother's Day episode of the podcast, and I have two incredibly special guests, both related to our senior pastor, Bruce Miller. Joining us today will be Tamara Miller, his wife, and Melanie Hebert, his daughter. And we talk about some of the joys and trials of motherhood. Now, if you're not a mom, please stay tuned because guess what? You know some moms. And I think what you'll gather from our conversation is how we can all support one another in raising the next generation. All right. Welcome back, everybody, to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. This is our special Mother's Day episode. And because it's our special Mother's Day episode, I am not talking to Bruce, but I am talking to two people who are very, very, very important to Bruce. We have Tamara Miller, Bruce's wife, and Melanie Hebert, Bruce's daughter, with us today. So say hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hey.
So we're really excited. In honor of Mother's Day, we thought we'd talk to some moms, get some of their perspective on things. You know, both of you, right? So Tamara, how many kids have you raised?
Four
boys and Melanie, who was, yes. How did you survive, Melanie? Four brothers. That's a lot. And then Melanie, how many kids do you have?
I have four kids. My girls are 9 and 10, and my boys are 5 and 7.
Okay, so you've got a lot of littles still, kind of running around. And now they're all in school, right?
Next year, they will all be in elementary school. Has been my last year with my youngest at home, which has been really fun.
Yes. And he got all the attention, right? He probably loved it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But the elementary school years are super crazy too. Uh-huh. Because there's so much going on in our kids' lives these days. So I thought it'd be really fun to talk to both of you, kind of about some of your experiences, about any advice you'd like to share with our listeners. And listeners, if you are not a mom, that's okay, because I think you will probably glean some things from our conversation that will help you know how you should treat a mom. Because we all know some moms, right? Or we have moms, or we're all involved in raising up the next generation, whether we have biological children or not, right? So I want to know, first of all, tell me a little bit what it was like in the Miller household growing up. This is your chance to tell on Bruce if you want to, or on your brothers, people who aren't present. So Tamara, let's start with you. What was it like raising kids in your household? What's some like a happy memory you could share?
It was fast and furious. And looking back, you know, it just seems like it was really mostly happy. And, I just remember having lunches spread out on making, you know, sandwiches, sort of assembly line in the make pack of lunches or breakfast, and Bruce right at the table reading his Bible, house burning down around us. But anyway, it was just a really fun, chaotic time, but really fun.
What about you, Melanie? You're in the thick of it right now. But what was it like growing up in the Miller household?
Really loud all the time. with five kids, and especially with four boys, it was noisy and rowdy. And I would agree with my mom. It was really happy. I have a lot of great memories of family camping trips and family meals together. And the other thing about having so many siblings, there was always at least one that I got along with and could hang out with.
At the moment, right? It probably varied day to day. So Melanie, where are you in the birth order? You're the almost the youngest, second to last.
I'm the fourth out of the five.
Okay.
So I have a lot of memories when my older brothers were in school and it was just me and my little brother and my mom. And those were fun years.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, you're having that with your baby right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So both of you not only grew up with, you know, in the Miller household, but you were grew up in the church, right? Mm-hmm. And not only just in the church, but in a pastor's family. So mm-hmm. I always think people are interested to know, like, so were you perfect because you have a pastor for a dad? Was everything perfect and smooth because, you know, Bruce has like some kind of straight line to God? I know none of that's true. So I'm asking, what is it really like to be the daughter of a pastor, Melanie?
It's an interesting question. I have to think back to what it was like growing up, because it's not part of my everyday identity now.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it certainly was not perfect. When I was a kid, I would get asked all the time, because there were five kids and my dad was a pastor. So is your life just like Seventh Heaven, that show that was
that show?
So that's really all I wanted people to know when I was a kid, is no, our life is not like Seventh Heaven. But yeah, I mean, we read the Bible a lot as a family. That was part of our lives. The gospel was part of our lives. On those family camping trips, there would always be like a memory verse we would do together as a family. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, you don't have to be a pastor to have that in your family.
Right.
But that definitely was part of our family growing up.
And a camp song when we do our family trips.
Uh-huh. Yep.
We'd pick a song to sing every day on our camping trips. Mm-hmm.
I remember one camping trip where we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. And if we saw someone exhibiting a fruit of the Spirit, you know, joy or kindness, they'd get a lifesaver.
So nice. Nothing wrong with a little incentive.
Yeah.
A little sugar-coated incentive.
Yeah.
What about you, Tamara? What was it like being the wife of a pastor?
You know, I really, all my life, even though I wasn't raised in a Christian home, I'd been raised around enough church people that I thought, okay, I either want to be a nun, though I wasn't raised Catholic, but I thought that looked like a nice devotional life, or a pastor's wife from the time I was little.
Interesting.
So, yeah. And so God had just prepared me for it. It's just been a huge blessing. I think if there was one thing I wanted people to know, is that everybody knows us, but we don't know everybody else. And so sometimes it may take me a minute to remember, okay, this is the person that has the, you know, the golden retriever and two daughters. Ah, gotcha. But yeah. I can't always remember, but it's not because I don't care. It's just that there are, you know, several thousand of you.
Yes.
And there's two of us. That's one thing. And I think that's the main thing, that it's not, if I don't remember you right away, it's not because I don't care about you, but I just remind me that if they would just say, hey, you know, I'm
so-and-so Sally. From so-and-so's group,
yeah. Or, yeah, you Sally know. And I'm in this life, that would help so much sometimes.
Right. Or we serve together in this event. Yeah. Just give me a little breadcrumb to follow into my memory.
Because often I'll know their face and I'll remember something, but name, I may just be stuck, and I feel terrible about that when that happens. But
yeah, no, that's good. That's a really good one, because you don't want people to feel like you don't care.
Yes, I do care, but
you're a finite human being with a finite memory.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? The other thing too is I don't have any input in the day to day operations of the church. I mean, I take care of Bruce, but people will come to me and say, "Why is the church doing XYZ?" And I'm, you know.
No one asked my opinion on that. So.
Well, I learned this from another pastor's wife. She said, you know, when someone comes to me to want to try to influence me towards something they're not happy about, or fuss at me about something that the church is doing that they don't like, you know, to say, I am sure the elders prayed really long about this and hard. And I think you should talk to them or to Bruce, and I would be happy to go with you to talk to them.
Oh, that's good.
Now, I have never had anybody take me up on that.
Right. But they just wanted to complain.
Right. But it's a great way to really explain. I didn't make that decision, but I'm happy to go with you to ask that question.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And also, like, I honor your opinion enough, or honor your thoughts well enough, that I'm willing to go with you and help you express them to the right person. So I think that's really honors their concerns without being able to do anything about it.
I can do about it.
Yeah, I know. I think everyone gets this image of, like, pastor's families just, like, whispering in his ear all the time about things he should do. But
early on we did, because when we were starting the church, Bruce and I did a lot of it together early on.
Oh, that's true.
I was good, like, his helper. But then one thing we learned is I carry stuff, and he could set stuff down. So if someone was angry or frustrated, I would carry that with me. And he could just move on. And so we sort of made a rule that it was need to know. Do you need to know this? Do I need to know this? If I do, I want to know it. But if I don't, it's probably better that I don't.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Okay, so Tamara, you and Bruce raised 5 kids into adulthood. As you look back, and I know this is, I know you could probably cite a million examples, but what's a way that you really saw the hand of God moving in your family?
I can tell you one really clearly. When we got married and then got pregnant right away, and then got pregnant right away again. And I remember thinking, and Bruce was still in school, God, what, how are we going to feed these children and take care of these children? And then I got pregnant again right away. And it wasn't all ignorance. I mean,
you do know how that works, right, Tamara?
Yes, we were trying to take precautions. And when I got pregnant with the third one, someone said to me, just start writing down how God provides. And so I just said, okay, God, show me how you provided. And I remember every day there was something. Like one day there was a whole bag of clothes on the porch of really nice clothes. And another day, you know, just the way God provided, I wrote it all down. I don't have it with me, but just the way he provided in ways that weren't quite what I expected.
Yeah.
And it was never like when I was still paying for the second child while I was going to the doctor to have the third child. And somehow we finished paying for Jimmy the week before David was born. And it was just, you know, God, it was always enough. Always an abundance, but always enough. That's one thing. And we saw how God provided, and just the people that he brought along to walk with us at different times. I remember once when Ben was really sick, and it was before cell phones. And I guess I had called somebody in our life group from the hospital. And before I even got back home, our youngest was ill with a blood disorder. She had arranged childcare. It was Deanne Clausen. She had arranged childcare. She had arranged food. And, you know, I don't know how God orchestrated all of that, but he did.
Yeah.
Because here I had 4 other kids that needed care. And how was I going to do that? And then another time when I needed somebody with me, and Bruce was working at the church and couldn't come, Laura Miller showed up at the house. I don't really want to go into the circumstances, and took me to the hospital and was there with me. And how did she know that that's what I needed right then? So
wow,
he just provides in ways that you don't always see coming or what you expect, but he's always there with you.
Amen. What about you, Melanie, as you think either to your own childhood or just as an adult, as what you've been going through in the last, you know, since you've gotten married and started your own family, how have you seen the hand of God moving in your family?
I think the one way that my perspective has changed as I've become a mom is I feel like I'm able to have more of, like, bird's eye view of what's happening. And some of that is just my focus is not just on myself anymore. You know, when I was a kid and before I got married, I could think only about myself and get through life, and that's fine. And now, as a wife and a mom, I'm thinking about my husband, I'm thinking about my kids. And when I look back on the last 10 to 12 years, I can see things that in the moment when they happened were a crisis. And it seemed like, you know, the worst thing that could happen. And then as the years go on and I see how my kids remember them, or I see how relationships were formed in those crises that have continued, I can see how God used really hard moments in motherhood to shape our family, and to provide us with the community that has really gotten us through other hard times and also the great times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're kind of bonded. You bond together as you go through.
Yes.
Things. Yeah. Like, yeah.
That's one of the big things that I've learned as a mom is how to ask for help.
Yes.
And I have always loved helping other people, but when I realized how much I needed help from my community, it really was a big life shift. I mean, it sounds like it should be obvious that of course we need help, but
yeah, but we get super mom syndrome, don't we all? We're like, I can do it.
Yeah.
And we get so embarrassed to admit we can't do it all.
Right.
And it's like, we forget that God brings you. Yeah.
Yeah. He brings you to the point where, oh, I cannot do this by myself.
Yeah. And that's why he designed us in the body of Christ, right?
Yeah.
To meet each other. But we should resist that sometimes.
Yeah. When you invite people in. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
But I love the story. I hate that you broke your leg, but I love the story of how your church cared for you when you broke your leg.
Yeah.
And were non-weight bearing. If you could share a little bit of how that worked, because it was a circus.
It was. Yeah. When my oldest was 3 months old, I broke my leg. And
ouch.
I was, non-weight bearing for 9 or maybe 12 weeks. It was a very long time. And that was, that was my oldest going from sitting up to crawling in that time. And
wow.
I was pretty helpless. But yeah, a friend of mine in my small group at church set up a care calendar. And I had people at our apartment every day helping me cook and helping me move my laundry from the washer to the dryer and taking our dog out. And when you have someone help you, when you're vulnerable enough to have someone help you move your laundry from the washer to the dryer, like you reach a deeper level of friendship with that person.
Yes. When they're folding your underwear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that was, 10 years ago now. And I still, some of my best friends are my friends that came and helped me when I really needed help.
Yeah, that's great.
As I recall, I remember the first week I was there, and then Katrina was there, and then your brother came, your youngest brother. But then after that, Jake would put the baby in the floor, and you'd get your way into the living room, and then somebody would come in the middle of the day, and y'all just sat on the floor for weeks.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Man, that's hard. Especially in those early days in your first baby.
Right,
oh my goodness.
Baby. I feel like if that had happened with third baby, well, I would have figured something out. So I'm glad in a way that it was the first baby, and it was deer in headlights, like, oh no, what am I gonna do moment.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, man, you got to spend a lot of uninterrupted time with that baby though, because you're like, baby,
we're
sitting here. Yeah. This is what we're doing.
Yep. We had a lot of contact naps, a
lot of bonding.
Yes.
That's great. Okay, so Melanie, here's a question for you. Is there something that your mom did when you were little that you didn't like or you didn't understand, and now you get it because you're a mom? And now you're like, that was a thing.
There are so many examples I could give of things that I just didn't get as a kid. And now I understand as a mom. One of them that I was realizing recently is when I was a kid, if any of us asked, what's for dinner? My mom would not respond with what we were having for dinner. She would either just be frustrated or she would say, kangaroo toes or something equally absurd. And as a kid, I'm like, I'm just asking what's for dinner. Like, why can't you just tell me? And now as a mom, I have reached the point with 4 kids and 10 years in, if someone asks me what's for dinner, I lose my mind. It's I don't know if it's just that I hear that question so often or if it's because, like, what are you going to do when I tell you it's for dinner? Probably complain. So why would I bother telling you?
Yes.
It's not going to change.
Yes, because I know I remember getting to the stage where like there was not a single thing I could make that all my mm-hmm. kids liked and my husband mm-hmm. liked and I liked. So exactly. I'm like, whatever I say, someone's gonna be unhappy.
Yes.
Yep. So yeah. It'll just be a surprise.
Yes, it'll be a surprise. Or I tell my kids, why don't you look around for some clues and see if you can figure it out?
Oh, that's good. Use your context clues.
Yeah. Or sometimes the dinner's already on the table and they will still ask me, what's for dinner? I'm like, it's right there.
What do you smell? What do you see? That's amazing. Yeah, that's great.
Yes. So, yeah. Anyway, I guess one thing that I understand better as a mom of a lot of kids is just the need to prioritize, the need to figure out what is actually urgent and what is not. And as the mom, I have a better idea of that than my children do.
That's right.
My children, whatever their thing is the urgent priority.
Right.
And so it's my job as the parent to sort that stuff out. What do we need to do right now and what can wait a little while?
Yeah, you're like a triage nurse in the ER.
Yes.
All the time. Yeah. All right. So, Tamara, I want to ask you. So, you raised 5 kids, all successfully. They're all contributing members of society and lovely people, I understand. So, what is your number one piece of advice for moms? So, if like young moms come up to you and they say, oh my goodness, Miss Tamara, I don't know what I'm doing. Help. What do you say?
Well, there's one that I normally do, but there's one more I thought of today that's real important. So I'm going to give them both. Okay. One's easy Absolutely. And one's hard. The easy one is just don't get so wrapped around the axle with thing. I mean, there were things when the kids were little that I was just so adamant about. And I look back and I'm thinking, oh, geez, that's not that important, you know? And I spent a lot of time and energy worrying about those things. And, fussing at Bruce because he didn't get the hair bow right, or the, you know, his shirts weren't tight, whatever it was, that, you know, their plates didn't have all the colors of the rainbow on them when I was feeding them. Or so to not get wrapped around the axle about things as much, and also to be kind to other mothers who maybe don't have those same convictions as you do on, you know, on most things. It's just not that important. Just to be loving to yourself and to other moms. But the harder one is one I really thought of today, and it's probably one of my biggest regrets as a mother. So early in our marriage, I went through some counseling for some issues just from my growing up that Bruce and I felt like I needed to go through some counseling for. And I'm not a very emotional person. I don't like to feel emotion much. So when we got to the point that I was functioning well again, we both just said, okay, we're good. Let's go. Mm-hmm. And, I was functioning and I was able to take care of the kids and make sure the laundry was done and the food was good and love Bruce and do what we needed to do. But I didn't finish the work then. I didn't finish the work. And now as my kids are adults, there are things I wish I could help them with that I'm not healthy in those areas and I don't have anything to offer, you know? And it breaks my heart that I'm not in a position to help my own children with questions because I'm not healthy in that way. One of those ways is that I'm not emotional or able to really express emotion very well. I wish I had worked it through instead of thinking, okay, the house isn't on fire anymore. We can move on. So that would be the most important but hardest is if you're struggling with something, get help that you need first, whether it's through a pastor at your church or professional counseling. Hopefully your pastor can tell you this is out of my pay grade. You need to talk to someone else, or the pastor can, whatever, get some help. Don't be afraid to get some help and then see it through.
And just so often moms, we think we're doing the right thing by denying ourselves because we think we're being selfless by saying, I'm fine. I can power through. Y'all are the most important. But I think that's really wise, Tamara, because I think sometimes if we don't do the work God's called us to do in our own lives and allowing him to heal us from past wounds and past struggles or whatever the situation is, then yeah, it's hard. It's like you have to take time to do that. And mm-hmm. I don't ever want to take time to do stuff like that.
And I had the tools to take care of little ones with little problems, but I would love to be able to really advise and counsel my adult children on some things. And I can on some things, but there's some things that I just don't have enough of a healthy perspective to help them with, you know? So that breaks my heart because it was a choice I made, you know, 30 years ago. Well, actually 35 years ago. Because it was before you were born that, you know, once she was on the way, number four was on the way, I was really like, okay, time out. It's time to get back to the house and take care of his. But that has been a big regret. And that's my advice is finish the work. And if you need help getting that work completed, get help from neighbors, friends, your family.
Yeah. Or a professional.
Yeah. Well, from a professional, but if you need help, I think I should have been more clear. If you have trouble paying for the counseling.
Oh yeah.
Or who's gonna kids when I go to counseling, there's people around you that will help if you just ask.
Yes. Yes.
And so that's what I meant to say. Yes, we need professional help. If you need it, get it.
Yeah, but no, that's
don't
right.
Don't be afraid to ask.
And don't be afraid to admit you need it and let some close people that you trust know that, because most, you know, they will want to help you. They will want to enable that for you.
Yeah.
By taking care of your kids. And the same way they did when Melanie broke her leg.
Right. And what you learn, and what, I mean, I really did see is I remember an older mom telling me when my kids were little, this is my time to help you. This is when my mother passed. And it was one of the older ladies at our church. She said, this is my time to help you. And there's going to be a time when you can help someone else. So it just, that's the way it works. That's the way the family works.
That's the beauty of God's economy. That's the way he does things. Yeah. That's great.
To encourage you, just you're feeling like you can't help us in every way, but that's also not your job. We are, hopefully we have community that can help us in ways where you maybe fall short. It's not all on your shoulders, and it never has been all on your shoulders. So I understand what you're saying, but just to encourage you, you raised us to also have our own community that can help.
But when we're not on the podcast, I'll tell you the incident that really breaks my heart. Not while we're recording.
But not in public. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And I will just say from my own experience, I just remember it hit me. I think like my oldest had been at Vacation Bible School, and at the end of the week, they did like the thing where they all get up there and sing their little songs, you know, and I think they had them sing their little songs on a Sunday morning in front of the whole church. And I just remember seeing my daughter up there singing, you know, songs, praising God. And I kind of looking around this church, and it just dawned on me. I'm like, I'm not in this alone. I'm really not. Like, yes, I'm the primary faith influencer, as we say at Christ Fellowship all the time. I'm the primary faith influencer in my child's life, but I'm not the only one. And so I don't have to be all things to my kids because I'm blessed to have wonderful godly grandparents. And, you know, and then I have friends, and there's aunts and uncles and cousins, and, you know, and then our community, our church community. So that takes some of the pressure off too. So that's would be my piece of advice is moms, don't feel like it's 100% on you, you know? And as I tell every mom who's in some kind of struggle, God loves your children more than you do. And so think how much you love your children. God loves them even more, and he's going to see them through. He really is. He's going to be faithful to your kids the way he's been faithful to you. You can trust him with them. Well, Melanie, what about you? What encouragement would you offer to other moms of kids, either younger than yours or in the same stage of life you're in?
One thing that I tell moms of younger kids, so babies, toddlers, preschoolers, is that if it feels like you're in survival mode, it's because you probably are. When you have kids, or even just one kid, but if you have a toddler, it's really hard. It is really hard to parent a toddler, to keep them physically safe, to raise them, to like be a kind friend, to try to keep an eye on them all the time, to try to get them to eat food. I mean, everything
challenging. Yes. And especially when you've got the ones that fight you all the time.
Yes. And it's 24/7. And, you know, if your kid wakes up at 2 a.m., you're going to go to them and you're going to parent them at 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. So those early years are really hard. And so my encouragement is that when it feels hard, it's because it is hard. My advice is to find yourself a community. Yeah. And for me, that's been my small group at our church. A bunch of us had kids around the same time. And so we were all in the trenches together. And if one of us got a little more sleep than the other, then maybe we'd take the toddlers for that day and let our friend rest. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine calls it like your 3 a.m. friend. So yes, it's the friend that you can call at 3 a.m. and know that they will come and help you. And I have made those 3 a.m. calls. And I have gotten that help. And that's what's really gotten us through. And like now that our kids are bigger, I see them. I mean, they don't have phones. They're not calling each other, but they would be that level of friendship for each other. You know, my girls have those friends that they've known since they were born. And
yeah,
it's really sweet to kind of see the next generation of friendship and community.
That's lovely. Yeah, that's really good. It's really good. So you found your community through your small group, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's a good thing. And you may have to, you know, I had a wonderful neighborhood play group.
Mm-hmm.
We built this house. And so everyone was new, which was kind of a blessing because mm-hmm. we were all brand new to the neighborhood because it was a new neighborhood. And so we just bonded all the moms with young kids. And mm-hmm. you know, we had play group every week. And those were my girls. And
yeah,
when the next one came along and I, you know, was struggling with two because mm-hmm. that's more than double.
Yes.
They were there to help. And then when I had the third one, they were once again there. So yeah. So yeah, find your people, find your community. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned earlier, Melanie, that means you're going to have to ask for some help sometimes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Okay, Tamara, so now you're a grandma. How many grandchildren do you have now?
9, and we'll have one more in September.
Wow, 10 grandkids. That's it's so best. Exciting.
It is the very best.
I know, and I know you're looking forward to having, when Bruce retires, having more time with them, because yes. you guys will be able to yes. travel more.
Yeah.
That's so exciting. So what have you done as a grandmother that is working well? And how would you encourage other grandmothers or aunts or family members? Like, how do you support your kids, and how could others support the young people in their life?
It's probably a better question to ask Melanie, but I can tell you what I try to do. I try to make the home welcoming for them, our home welcoming for them. And I try to be available when they need something. But the other thing that's been most helpful to me is that each of the moms of the grandchildren has different ways they want things to go with their kids and their household. And if you respect that, then you have a better relationship with the moms and with the children. Not my business why they might have whatever thought, like Melanie's pretty relaxed, and this mom may want, you know, more structure. I've also learned they're generally have a good reason for why they want things a certain way.
Sure.
The best thing is the moms and dads generally have a good reason for why they want things the way they want things. And it's my job to respect that and listen and try to, support it. And that's generally, so if you're an aunt, you can
get away with more.
You can do a little more because you're just the aunt. But I remember your Aunt Michelle would take you to do things that probably your dad and I would have been so thrilled with, but you have such a great relationship with her and great memories. And I just, you know, remember you always enjoying your time with her, except the one time she cut your hair without our permission, but
mostly, that might've been a bridge too far.
Yeah, but mostly just, you know, just spending time with them, giving them time alone and, you know, taking the kids so they can have time alone and being there when they call. My mom passed when my kids were really little. She passed when Melanie was a baby. And so I have always wanted to give my kids what I didn't have, which was, you know, my presence. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that's huge.
Yeah. Just be there.
That's great. And ask what they need and what they want. Don't assume that you know best.
Yeah. A couple of some of the moms will just make a list of here. And that is so helpful to me. It is not something that I love that because I know, okay, here's what they can eat. Here's what, you know, and I'm very hyper. And so I'll tend to be running around and if they'll say stop and play with the kids, that's what I want you to do. Okay. I can do that.
Yeah.
You know, but I love it when they can give me a clear list and then I can follow that list and then everybody's happy.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's good. That's really good. Well, Melanie and Tamara are going to be on stage on Sunday morning, and I have more questions to ask them. So if there's one that you go, man, Lisa, why didn't you ask, you know, this thing? Maybe I'll ask it on Sunday and you'll get to hear the answer then. So it will be a real pleasure to have you guys up there. We'll do a little interview. And we just really want to encourage moms. You know, it's Mother's Day, and I know that's not always a happy day for every mom, depending upon your situation, or maybe you aren't a mom and maybe you wanted to be a mom. I mean, there's a lot of complexity around this holiday. And so we want to encourage people wherever you're at, that God loves you and God sees you and he knows you and he's going to meet you right where you're at, whether this is the happiest Mother's Day or this is not a great Mother's Day for you for whatever reason. And so we just want to encourage people. So you guys may not know this, but we end every podcast with prayer. So Tamara, would you be willing? Her eyes got big. And if you don't want to, that's okay. I usually make Bruce pray. But would you just pray for our listeners?
I will.
All right.
Oh, Jesus, we are so grateful that you have designed us to be a family of faith, that whether we have children or husbands or mothers or fathers, that we are not alone. We have a larger community around us to meet those needs. And Father, I thank you that you have designed us to be in community. And Father, I ask that you would help us to be an encouragement to one another and be loving to one another, and especially to encourage our children and not frustrate them. And God, I pray that you'd give us good sleep, especially for those moms of little ones, they would have good sleep. And that each of the listeners would find somebody that they can begin to form community with, somebody they can help and who can also help them. And God, we just praise you and thank you that you've made us to function that way as a body of Christ. In Jesus' name. Oh, and Lord, thank you for Lisa and the work she puts into this podcast and to bringing your word and your love to people beyond our building, our church building. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 All right, everybody. We will see you back next week.